Hey, folks.
This is Jesse Cope, back with another episode of the American Soul Podcast. Hope y'all are doing well, wherever y'all are and whatever part of the day you're in. Sure do appreciate you joining me and giving me a little bit of your time and effort, energy. A little bit of your day. I hope it's gives you something to add to your toolbox. Hope it gives you a little something to look forward to on a regular basis, and hopefully maybe helps our country just a little bit. The ducks have managed to stay alive for another night slash day. It's always encouraging that the snakes and all the other predators haven't gotten to them yet. Managed to get some strawberries in the ground, I think. I say I think because it was mostly just the root ball. Haven't grown strawberries before, so this may be a bust. We'll see. See how it goes. That's about it, though. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for you, Father, and your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the time to record this podcast, the people that listen to it and share it. Be with them and their families. Guide them, bless them. Surround them with your angels. Protect them from evil of any kind. Help us to seek you above all else, Lord, to seek you first. Your kingdom, your righteousness. To not be lukewarm or cold toward you, but to be hot, to be strong in our desire to follow you, to do your will. Help us to seek you with our whole heart, truly, both as individuals and as a nation. Be with our leaders, president, vice president, senators and representatives, admirals, generals. Help us to choose for rulers for ourselves, men who rule in fear of you, Father. Help us to lead our country back to you. And guide my words here, Father, please. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. I thought that this was going to be another kind of random compilation of a podcast, but it has come together right at the end, and it really can kind of be summed up in our need to stand for what's right, regardless of if we're the only one standing, regardless of if we lose friends or make enemies. And it really falls into line with John Quincy Adams' quote, that duty is ours and results are God's. And I think the heart of this particular podcast within that, because that's most decent people know that that's true. If you make that comment, they'll agree with you. Yeah, gotta stand up for what's right, no matter what. We don't follow that as well in action. We want other people to agree with us, approve of our stance, join us. That's kind of what my father has called over years the Charlie Brown mentality. We want everybody to like us. I'm a expert at that feeling. And it's true on so many different levels. Just in our families. Even in our marriages. How often have there been times, if you're married, when you really should have, lovingly, but you should have stood your ground with your spouse, especially as men over the last several decades, and just said, no, this is what we're going to do. But we didn't, because we wanted to keep the peace, or for whatever reason. I think that's probably a common one. It's interesting because so often the left portrays women who choose to follow God's commands in regards to marriage and sex as weak. And they're really the stronger, because if you've ever been in a situation in your life, male or female, where you have had to submit to authority, it's a choice. You don't have to. I mean, really, in any scenario, there may be pain that's associated with not. I mean, there almost always is, especially, well, always, almost. I was going to say, especially when it's the right thing, and you choose not to submit to that authority, like God's authority, there's always pain that comes with it. But even when it's something wrong, sometimes that's more complicated. My whole point is, submission is a choice. It's a matter of willpower. It's a matter of choosing to put someone else above yourself. Men have to do it with Jesus Christ. We have a responsibility to choose to submit to Jesus Christ and His Word, God. We don't have to, and often we don't. It's abundantly clear, and has been for several decades in the United States, that we've done a worse and worse job. But it's a choice. You go into the military, for those of y'all that are listening that have been in the military, or police, law enforcement of some kind, or firefighters, there's a hierarchy of order, right? There's different levels, and if your commanding officer tells you to do something, I mean, you still have a choice. You can say no. And sometimes there's, in the military, there's cases where there's unlawful orders, and you have a responsibility then to say no. But this idea that the feminists try and push, that these women that are submissive to their husbands, because that's what the Bible teaches, folks. I mean, there's, if you're not willing to admit that, a wife's, I don't know if you would say primary role, but certainly way up high at the list of priorities is submit to her husband. Respect her husband, desire her husband. It goes all the way back to Genesis and God talking about the fact that a wife's desire will be for her husband. And the other, you can look in Ephesians and a couple other places in the New Testament. The idea that the women that choose to follow God's word are weak is ludicrous to anybody that has willingly chosen to submit to authority before. And I know I got way off track here, but that just felt like I needed to throw that in. And so this podcast, really, I'm going to read, this quote comes out of the Founder's Bible. This first part is from Matthew chapter 10. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Jesus comments there, and you can interpret this different ways, or I guess you can interpret the extent of it to different ways. But the point is, Jesus saying, "I came to bring the truth. I am the truth, right?" And some people are going to accept it, And some people aren't. And your job is to, if you want to really follow me, your job is to accept it. Again, John Quincy Adams quote, duty is ours, results are God's. And so one of this quote here actually again comes from John Quincy Adams, and it's talking about a minister that came to speak, I think, to the entire house. I think that's right. And this section where they put it in the Founders Bible goes with the section of Daniel where the hand is writing on the wall and telling the king, you've been weighed and measured and found wanting, right? It's a hard passage, especially when you're talking to powerful people. This is the quote, though. I attended public worship in the hall of the House of Representatives, where Mr. Tustin, the chaplain of the Senate, preached from Daniel 5:27. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. This is a formidable text for a preacher to manage, and especially for a chaplain to a House of Congress. It is in itself the key to a discourse of keen and searching reproof to the auditory, the audience. It is the solemn duty of a Christian clergyman to administer reproof to his hearers, and it is the duty of the hearers to listen to reproof without taking offense. This is the great practical obstacle to the faithful and useful discharge of the preacher's duty. If he probes the sinner to the soul, he kindles hatred against himself and loses his hold upon the conscience. If he forbears, if he holds back, he neglects his holiest duty and betrays the cause of his maker, of his master. Mr. Tustin told us all that we had been weighed in the balances and found wanting. And so you can see the dilemma there. You know it from your own lives. Doesn't really matter whether you're in a junior high or high school and listening to the podcast, or your college, or an adult of many years. You know that often in our lives, when we speak the truth to people, they're not really interested. And now I'm not talking, folks. There's a lot of times where we tell people things that's it's true, but they didn't ask. We're just sticking our nose in where it doesn't belong. We like to tell people, especially when we feel like we're in the right, and so it's no skin off our back. We like to tell others, well, this is what you should do, or this is what ought to have been done, or this is what's wrong with you, or what's why you're in this situation right now. And that's really dangerous. I've had a personal acquaintance of a long time talk about the fact that their parents did that. And I've seen it in a couple of good friends over the years. That their parents would tell them so often, well, this is what you should have done. This is what you need to do. And they weren't really looking for that from their parent. And maybe they should have been, but they were really just looking for a parent to talk to. And so you have to be real careful. A minister's job is to tell the truth. And if you're going to church, this is where I think John Quincy Adams was really hitting the nail on the head. If you're going to church, you have a responsibility to listen to that reproof without getting offended, right? You're looking for the truth. You went to church. You want to know the truth. And so when the minister tells you the truth, we have a responsibility to listen to it without getting mad at the pastor. I mean, if you've gone to church for very long at all and you're really paying attention and the pastor's worth anything at all, they've stepped on your toes. And if you're going to church, folks, and the pastor hasn't stepped on your toes and you've been going there for a while, you need to find a different church. Because all they're doing is just making you feel better about yourself. They're not really helping you grow closer to Jesus Christ. Because none of us is perfect. Some of us are better than others in following God's word. Some of us are worse than others. But we all fall short of perfection. And so if you've been going somewhere, this is a little side note, and you're not getting your toes stepped on every once in a while, I'm telling you right now, find a new church, find a new pastor. My pastor does a great job of, in fact, I think he kind of enjoys, like, he kind of picks up his foot a little higher than I feels like he needs to and kind of stomps on my toes on a pretty regular basis. I don't appreciate it very much, but that's the point. I went there to hear the truth. He's telling the truth. I need to accept the truth. His job is to tell it, and mine is to listen to it. And so what this tied into, and it kind of fell together, is an article out of the Epoch Times I've talked about on here. It's a great newspaper. If you don't get it, I would recommend it. It's by far the best newspaper that I have read in years, both in what they say about particular subjects and the subjects that they choose to talk about. And so this is by Jan. Oh, I'm so sorry. Who, I don't think she'll ever hear this podcast, but if she does, it's Jalik, maybe, and Owen Evans. So it's a good article. I'm sure you can look it up online. And it's an article about Liz Truss, who was very briefly prime minister, I believe. Yeah, in Britain. And there's some quotes in here that are really great, and it falls in line to this because there's this idea today that the left, they do such a good job of taking a little bit of truth and twisting it. I always go back to separation of church and state. And they took that one line out of one part of a line and a letter from Jefferson to a Baptist pastor, and they twisted it to mean what it never did. They put a little bit of truth in there just to confuse people enough, and then they've managed to wreak havoc for the last 80 years. So, one of the things they've done is they've convinced us, well, especially as Christians, Jesus Christ said to be loving, which is true, absolutely. Jesus Christ and love, they go hand in hand. But then what they've done is they've convinced us that it's loving to lie. And what I mean, I'm going to read you a couple quotes by Ms. Truss. We have to be brave advocating conservative values, and we need to be proud of our countries, and we need not to compromise with the left. Okay? I think too many conservatives accept the premise that somehow it's nice to advocate these policies. No, it's not. What we're effectively doing is making people poorer because they can't afford energy. We're exposing our young people to dangers, irreversible treatments. That isn't nice. And so in place of nice, I would put love. And she's talking specifically here about the climate change policies in Europe and the transgender, the mutilation. And if you've seen the news lately, within the last week or so, Britain has actually banned giving puberty blockers to teenagers, which is a great step. I don't know why we're behind them in that at all. But the point is, all the things on the left, LGBTQ is a great one, feminism is a great one. The left has convinced us that it's loving to encourage both of those values. And that if we don't, and they've tied it up in this way, they've said, well, if you really care about women, then you'll support feminism. You'll support women all the time without question. Well, that's not true. That's not loving. Because sometimes, I know this is shocking to some people, women are wrong. And feminism has not been kind to women at all. You see that now in a lot of ways. But the LGBTQ, well, if you love them, you'll affirm them. Wow, that's ludicrous. That's like saying if you're a parent, your kid comes to you and they say, I want to go rob a bank, the loving thing to do is affirm them. No, the loving thing to do is to stop them. Look at the Oxford shooting. What would have happened if the parents would have stopped the kid, not bought him the guns, looked at the social media and said, no, not only no, but heck no. Called the police. That's the loving thing to do. To prevent your kid from going and killing other people, to prevent your kid from even just robbing a bank. Illegal immigration, another great example. Well, if you don't agree with illegal immigration with open borders, then you're just cruel and heartless. Look at all these poor women and children. Well, the loving thing to do is not to encourage them to make the journey to begin with, to try and fix the country where they're in, not to bring them in so that they hurt more of our own poor and needy here. That's not loving. That's not kind at all. None of these, I know we're running out of time here. None of these policies, folks on the left, are kind or caring or loving. And that's the bottom line. There's one more quote by Ms. Truss here. You can't compromise with communists who want to destroy our way of life. And I think the people on the left who advocate this point of view, they are after the destruction of Western civilization. They are actively trying to undermine our way of life. And that is why we need to be brave at taking them on. There's no compromise with evil, folks. There's no compromise with the devil. There's no negotiation. And the idea that we can peacefully coexist or reconcile with citizens who maintain those values is a pipe dream. It's an illusion. It's a false hope. And we need to wake up to that and be brave and stand alone if we have to and tell the truth. God bless y'all. God bless your families. God bless your marriages. God bless America. We'll talk to y'all again real soon.